This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
It's the weekend. I'm Freddie Bell. Hi, everybody. Coming up on the show today, we visit with Jay Hepala. He is the Associate State Director for Community Engagement for AARP Minnesota. He'll be talking to us about Social Security plus property tax. Libel Sternbach stops by. He always has some wonderful ways for us to keep more of our hard-earned money in our pocket. Joe McKenzie is here, too, and he's talking about how you can control what you can control when it comes to your career. I can't wait to share those details with you. Cassie Crandall is here, of course, with lifestyle information for you. And we listen in to Unity South Twin Cities, located in Bloomington, Minnesota. They have Sunday services at 9 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. The Reverend James Stacy is the senior minister. You get a preview to their Easter services here on New Beginnings. Let's get our show underway. It's New Beginnings, and I am Freddie Bell. Let's turn our attention now to lifestyle. I've got Cassie Crandall standing by with three things.
Thank you, Freddie. All right, my thing number one this week. You know how one thing that's sure in life is death and taxes. Well, tax day is coming up. Monday's the deadline. Oh, boy. So it's a little late for this news, but I thought this was a really cool story. In Palm Beach County School District in Florida, Santa Lucis Community High School and Lake Worth Community High School are part of a pilot program with the IRS to train students to become volunteer tax preparers. Wow, that's amazing, because they're helping people and they're learning a skill. Maybe they'll decide they want to become an accountant or something. I think that's awesome. To qualify to have these students do your taxes for you, you have to meet income guidelines, of course. But this is a great service to the community and an educational experience for these high school students. And I just think it's awesome that more school districts ought to think about a partnership such as this, whether it's with the IRS or some other entity. Way to go, Palm Beach County School District. All right, my thing number two for this week. Did you know it is National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week? That means 911 dispatchers. Let me tell you, those dispatchers go through a lot. That is not an easy job. They're multitasking. They're directing EMS and fire and police. And while they're directing them, they're also taking calls from people that need help in some way. They have a lot going on when they're at work, and it's a high-stress job. Think about the value of the 911 dispatchers. They won't hang up on you if you're in labor. They'll walk you through what's going on. There have been babies delivered by the dispatcher over the phone because maybe the person was in a hard place to reach or too far away, and the ambulance hadn't arrived yet. Those things happen, and thank God we have those dispatchers as part of our first responder system. If you've called 911 for one reason or another, you may have found that the dispatcher will stay on the line with you if you want them to. If you're scared and you're waiting for the police to arrive, they'll stay on the phone with you. Hold your hand, essentially, through the phone. So kudos to those 911 operators. National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week. Hats off to you guys. That's my thing number two. And thing number three. I'll leave you with a quote today. Author unknown, but here goes. A person who finds peace will never again accept chaos. Again, a person who finds peace will never again accept chaos. I have found myself in a bit of a predicament for a couple of months now where I was very much at peace with my life as a whole, and then I took on a different opportunity. It's been challenging. It's been stressful. It's been frustrating, but I've made it through because I wouldn't accept the chaos that those around me were creating. So don't let people take away your peace. Own it. Have a great week. Happy Easter. For New Beginnings, this is Cassie Crandall.
Thanks so much, Cassie. We'll talk to you again next week. People around the world are celebrating Easter this weekend, and we turn our attention now to Unity South Twin Cities, where the Reverend James Stacy is the senior minister. They have services at 9 and at 10:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. This is a preview to their Easter services. Let's join Minister Stacy with a program already in progress.
I want to begin with this little story I love. A story about a man named Edward Bach. At the turn of the 20th century, he traveled from America to Europe. He was fascinated by the English nightingale and the beauty of its song. So being a good American, he thought, well, I'll just buy a bunch of nightingales. And so he brought back to America 100 nightingales. But slowly, day by day, they all died, one by one, for they were not suited to the climate. But one morning, after his period of grieving over what had happened, he got up and early in the morning, he heard the beautiful nightingale's song. Bewildered, he went outside and discovered that one of our American mockingbirds was mimicking the sound of the nightingale. The nightingale's song lived on in a new form, sang by the mockingbird. I thought it was such a beautiful story, because you can imagine his disappointment, his grief, perhaps even guilt, that he brought these beautiful birds to America, not thinking that they wouldn't be able to survive in the climate and that they would all die. But yet, through the grace of Spirit, another bird took up the song. In Charles Fillmore's book, Keep a True Lent, our classic study for the Easter season, he described the essence of the Easter experience. Easter is the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. Its inner meaning and spiritual significance is the awakening and raising to spiritual consciousness of the I Am, the truth within the individual, which may have been dead in trespass or error, and buried in the tomb of materiality. Christ and Jesus declared, I came that they may have life and may have it abundantly. The resurrection is the raising up of the whole human being, spirit, soul, and body, into the Christ consciousness of life and wholeness. This Jesus did. The tomb could not hold His redeemed body of light. Resurrection is accomplished by the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. This time of Easter, in hearing the gospel accounts, and certainly holding in our heart and imagination the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which our co-founders in Unity, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, always referred to as the great demonstration. The great demonstration of life over death. But as truth students, each one of us following our own path of life, at some time we must bring this home. What does this mean to me? Now, in religion and in Christian tradition, we can look at the theology of the resurrection and say, well, this is what happened in ultimate truth in Jesus Christ. But our tradition in Unity is always to see, what does this truth mean to me? How does it reveal itself in me? Charles Fillmore once described the Unity work as grasping the truths You may say the theology, the truths of Christianity, and then proving them. That is why Charles settled, after many experiments, coming up with names for this work. Of course, certainly the central name is unity, to see the unity of spirit at work in all things. But he also used the term practical Christianity. Practical Christianity. Well, I happened to find, working in the Founders Church in Kansas City, I had the benefit of having the archives in my office. And I could go back and sneak around and look at these very old papers from the beginning of the 20th century and some of the writings, which were sometimes startling, because Mr. Fillmore liked to write with, I think they might call it a cray paw. It was a kind of a oil crayon. And he would write in big, bold scripts because he wanted his statements, his affirmations, to be big and powerful. So I found some little designs for some old letterhead. And it said, Unity Society of Practical Christianity. Practical Christianity for practicing Christians. And he kept playing over and over with this word practical. Myrtle Fillmore would often remind people who turned to her for advice that it was not so important to grasp it all at once. She had a woman write to her and say, Mrs. Fillmore, it must be wonderful to be you. Because you know it all. You know all of Unity's teachings and you're so wise. And she wrote back, my dear, you can't possibly know what it is like to be me. But what's important is you. And that you practice, demonstrate was a word that they liked. That you demonstrate the truth that you know. You put it to work here, now. So in our practical Christianity, we look at the resurrection story and we may say, what does that mean here, now? Well, in the most exalted, highest sense, I believe it means what Cora Fillmore, who was Charles' second wife, Cora Fillmore, wrote a wonderful affirmation in a book she wrote entitled Christ Enthroned in Man. It was a part of her way to help people study the 12 powers that Charles Fillmore had written about, but she wrote meditations upon them to help people get a grasp of them. And each chapter would start out with an affirmation. It begins, Jesus Christ is now here, raising me to his consciousness of eternal life.
Unity South Twin Cities, 7950 First Avenue South in Bloomington, Minnesota. You can join them each week either at 9 or at 10:30 a.m. and for their weekly activities as well.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi again, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings. And joining us right now, Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. That's where he turns candidates into contenders. If you'd like to reach Joe, you can reach him directly at 763-438-1621 or RippleConnects.com. Joe McKenzie, good morning and welcome to the program.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. How are you today?
Doing well, and I'm really excited about our topic today because you're talking about what is within your control in your career. And I can surmise what that means, but I'm saying that you can only control what's going on in your career, that it's totally up to you. Is that the premise?
It is, because any given year, me and you could have this conversation about what is in within your control in your career, and there could be different circumstances. The last couple of years could be the global pandemic. It could be a series of mergers and acquisitions, or, you know, the commodity markets today. All of that impacts our industries that we're working on or in, but we don't have any control over that. Those are global forces. Those are things that can also take our attention away from what we can focus on. And that's kind of why I want to bring it back to that. What's within our range of control that we can actually maybe sidestep some of these things that are impacting our career, or anticipate better, or be prepared for? And you want to break it down to something that's manageable and just top of mind. And that's what I want to cover today. This is a segment that we launched years ago that's still one of my most read articles that I published on LinkedIn, because it's very granular. People can say, hey, Joe, I read your article. It made sense. I used that. And that's why I think we need to share that. As the global markets and the world and our industries change constantly, but a lot of these things that we're going to talk about today are still within our control.
Interesting. Everybody, Joe McKenzie is with us right now. We're talking about controlling what is in your span to control. So as we look at this, what are some of the things that we can do that can really control our career that's obvious but not so obvious if you're looking from the outside in?
Well, I think first and foremost, I think you got to make a decision to learn about what's going on in your industry or other industries. So you want to lean in on getting timely, accurate information. And you can do that through conferences. You can do that through trade shows. You can do that with speaking to others in your same industry to be able to better anticipate or plan for. So you have to make that decision. You can't say, oh, this rolled up on me and I didn't know it was coming, even though all the signs pointed to that. You have to make a decision to make sure you get all the information in front of you that you've gathered or through various means so you can make good decisions. So I would say make a decision to understand the industry that you're in, or make a decision to gain more information about an industry that you want to go in. I think that's one of the most critical first steps.
Interesting. So it sounds like we need to learn more about the industry in which we're in.
Absolutely. Understand through, you know, periodical or journals or articles or LinkedIn articles or what other people are saying, get the most timely, relevant information that pertains to you. You can't control what's happening, but at least now you've made that decision to know more about what's taking place. So you can be more nimble.
They say that knowledge, well, whoever they are, they say that knowledge is power. And when you decide to make that first step to, as you mentioned, attend the trade shows, the conferences, maybe it's a Zoom meeting or go to meeting. These things all help. What's another thing that we can do to really put our hands around our own career and control what we can?
To kind of piggyback on making that decision to learn more information, I would say initiate the steps or the process for uncovering some of the transferable skills that you have. So if you gain that information about what that industry is going through, or that industry you want to target going into, if you can understand what they're up against, taking steps now within your own control to understand what are those transferable skills that can help offset some of these forces that are coming down in these industries. And some of the most sought after transferable skills are simply, you know, are you a good communicator? Are you good at being part of a team? Technical literacy, you know, soft skills. It's knowing what your transferable skills are and how they will integrate into those industries, I think, is the next step. We can't go through life not knowing what our transferable skills are. And I've realized them, and I realized them in a lot of various ways. But once you start to get curious about what transfers, Freddie, and then combined with what you know going in that industry, then you make yourself more marketable. I know that I entered the nonprofit sector 2.5 years ago, but I knew my transferable skill of communication, either listening or voice or writing, that helped move my nonprofit forward. That's what that nonprofit industry needed. Good communicators of the mission, knowing the audience, knowing how to connect with that audience, make it relevant. 10 years ago, Freddie, I had no idea that I could speak about a nonprofit mission, but I had spent almost over a decade in sales. I just had that blind spot to say, I can't go to the nonprofit, but the skills were there. The communication skills were there. And yep. That's what I mean when we need to know what our transferable skills are, but also combined with what's going on in those other industries. So that's the second thing that's within our control, is to initiate the process of uncovering our skill, our transferable skills.
So interesting. So you just said, first of all, decide to attend industry conferences or trade shows to better understand what's going on and how these things that are happening in your industry impact you directly. Another, you said, is initiating the process of uncovering and realizing what our own transferable skills are. What would be a third step?
And then this is where you become more proactive. Once you have that information and you know what those skills are, then you proactively set up conversations, either virtual or face-to-face. What you're trying to do here is engage your bench of career advocates. We've talked about that career advocate group for years. They're the people that know you the best, but they may not always know where you're trying to go. They may not always know what your transferable skills are. Why not bring in that invaluable bench of career advocates to help you uncover opportunities either in the hidden job market or advertised? They might even help refine your message or your transferable skills or give you relevant examples of what those are. So that's the next step. Proactively bring in your bench of career advocates and your greater professional network. Set those conversations up, either virtual or face-to-face. You have to take that proactive, that's within your control, Freddie. And that's with that information that we gathered, let's take it to them.
That's really interesting. How open do you think these groups of individuals would be to setting up a face-to-face meeting to help advance your own career?
I think you test the waters. I think for the most part, your bench of career advocates are someone you have kind of semi-regular type of communications with. My guess is most of them are staying current with you, but what if you learn a new set of information you want to share with them? I think that's a perfect setup for another conversation or a future conversation. And that's how I approach it. Bringing new information to the table is a great setup on why you want to share this with them. And they're open to that. Those career advocates are ones that want to champion you. They want to listen to you. They want to advocate for you. And that's why you start there.
These advocates are certainly key to any career search. And I'm curious, point number four, you said you got to be curious.
Yes, you got to be curious about what new opportunities are out there for professional growth. It's not a straight line or a linear, just move often or all the time, I should say. Why not learn some of your professional growth areas through volunteering or just volunteering for a new project at work? I've often said, play the long game in regards to your career growth. Play it out 10, 20 years. Don't think of it as something you got to do in the next 30 days. But always explore, be open, and be curious on that professional growth piece. And Freddie, 10 years ago, I started my nonprofit professional growth through volunteering on a board, and that has helped me today. Now that I'm employed in the Minnesota nonprofit sector.
Wow, great stuff. We had to leave it right there, but we know that the key for controlling your career is to decide, to initiate, to be proactive in setting up important meetings, and to explore and have curiosity with regard to new opportunities for professional growth. That's why you turn candidates into contenders. Joe, what's the telephone number and the website?
763-438-1621, and the website is rippleconnects.com.
And this is New Beginnings.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature and is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Now let's turn our attention to financial health and retirement with Libel Sternbach, Amazon's best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety and Authenticity. He's a great man. I enjoy talking with you, Libel. Hello and welcome back to New Beginnings.
Hey, how are you?
Unbelievable. I was cold over the weekend, but now that it's 70 degrees in some parts of the country, 50 in others, and 3 degrees in other parts, I think I'm going to be okay. Let's talk about Social Security maximization. You know, we all know, Libel, that Social Security is an important part of every retirement plan. And there's a lot of advice on when you should file for benefits and if you should take them early or wait until age 70 when you've accumulated all those deferred retirement credits. As a certified Social Security advisor, what are your thoughts on this topic?
So I got lots of thoughts on this topic. I got some good thoughts. I got some bad thoughts.
Let's go with the bad thoughts first. I'm curious.
The bad thoughts. All right. So if you Google around, you can probably catch some seminars or webinars that I've done on this topic. But the Congress has basically raided the Social Security Administration's coffers for decades. We all know this. And we also know the fact that when Social Security was first created, there were a lot more workers than there were retirees. The average age, the average lifespan was less than it is today. People are not only living longer, but they're living healthier lives, meaning that they're not invalids who are sitting in a bed for the last 3 years of their life just waiting to die. You want to live, you want to explore, you want to see family, you want to do things. And the fact is that Congress, to get elected, has been pandering to the older crowd as we get older, the boomer generation, the largest generation really in American history. And they're the biggest voting block right now. And so they give them benefits and they say whatever it takes to get their vote. However, the reality is that you got to balance your budget. The money doesn't just come from, it does. While it does literally grow on trees, it does not economically grow on trees. And so they need to balance the budget somehow. They need to pay for all of these services that they're giving. And so some of the ways that they have been cutting back on benefits without raising taxes, right? So how they're balancing that budget. When you got a budget, you got income and you got expenses, and it's got to net out at the end. Otherwise, you got to borrow money, which is just, basically making future generations pay for it. Mm-hmm. What they're doing, though, is because those numbers don't really match up, what they're doing is they're cutting back benefits in subtle ways that you don't see. So your check doesn't necessarily decrease. So existing people who are claiming benefits don't see a reduction in benefits. But what they don't see is that, and what you don't take into account, is that new people who are claiming benefits are not getting the same amount of benefits as the people who claimed previously. Or that your check, which is supposed to grow with inflation, isn't growing at the same pace as your costs. And this is not like, the system was set up and, the cost of living adjustments in Social Security matches a certain number. And so therefore that number didn't grow. It's Congress actually went in and changed the number that it was tied to so that it is excluding things like energy and what they consider volatile expenses, because those things which end up, when inflation hits, those are the numbers that go up the most. They didn't want to give that into the check. So a way to cut expenses, cut what that increase is based on. Another thing is this deemed filing rule that they did a few years back, where they said that if you file for benefits, it's as if you filed for all the benefits that you're entitled to, which prior, right? One of the strategies was this file and suspend strategy, where people would file for benefits and they would suspend their own benefits and just claim their spousal benefits. So, you know, just like in a divorce, you get, spousal support, you get that alimony. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Social Security. Social Security recognizes the fact that a spouse who gives up their working career should be entitled to benefits because they are the ones who enabled the worker to work. They have reduced the amount, the dollar amount of benefits that are eligible for people who worked and supported a spouse at the same time, or, you know, at different points in their life. And it's a very subtle way that Congress is cutting your benefits without you even realizing that they're cutting benefits. Other ways are things like moving, the filing age, right? The minimum, the full retirement age, FRA, up so that it's, you can't file until you're older.
That's pretty amazing. It's really nuanced. I asked the question about the good and the bad, and I think I got both of them all at the same time. And you were really emphasizing benefits, Lai, but we're talking about Social Security maximization. So what are some of the benefits of waiting to take the benefits? I see the numbers of 70 or the magic number of 67. What are some of the benefits of waiting to take benefits?
So when we talk about Social Security, there's, basically the rule of thumb is that for every year you delay benefits or you take benefits early, your check is going to be either increased by 8% or reduced by 8%. It's not exactly those numbers. It'll vary based on when your full retirement age is. But there's this range where if you don't take benefits when you are eligible, you can defer and you can get these deferral credits. And your check when you retire at that later age will have increased by a percentage basis for each month that you didn't claim benefits. So essentially by loaning the Social Security Administration your money back and letting them, accumulate their reserves longer, you're going to get a bigger check later on, which is great, right? And if you're single and if you don't have anyone else to consider, mm-hmm. then that's probably the ideal strategy for you. And you don't need the money. If you don't need the money and you can wait and nobody else is, relying on your Social Security benefits, your work history, then yeah, sure. Delay as long as possible because that check is going to increase. However, as soon as you have someone else in the picture, then that becomes, we go from doing simple algebra to doing calculus.
How does that work then when someone wants to take early retirement benefits? You've already told me that the money is going to be a little bit lower. And I would imagine if I'm taking spousal benefits, the money starts to drop even further. How do you make sense of that?
So there are several factors that you need to look at. So the first factor you want to just look at, flat out is, and this you'll see on your Social Security statement, is what will your check be if you claim early? What will your check be if you delayed benefits? And that's your simple math. The next question you got to ask is, what is your spousal benefit? If you are married or if you have minor children, then you need to ask yourself the question, and there are other people who can claim on your work history, but you need to look at those other people who can benefit from you filing for Social Security. And you need to ask yourself, is it more beneficial for us to claim early so that they can get more of that money up front? Or is it better to delay so that my surviving spouse, when the breadwinner, passes, that they get a bigger check? And these are questions that you really need to ask yourself. And then you got to also ask yourself the question, what's your health? What's your life expectancy? And it's different for everyone. My dad passed at 63. One of my mentors, he passed at 64, and he knew he felt he wasn't going to live until past 65. His father didn't live until 65. I had a good friend who died in his 30s, in his 20s, and his dad was in his 30s. So you really got to ask yourself the question, what is my life expectancy? Mm-hmm. At the same time, one of my friends, his dad's dad is, just passed at 101, right? So
big extremes.
Yeah, big extremes. And, some of these people, you know, they smoke a pack a day and they're still 90 years old. So you really got to ask yourself that question. What is my life expectancy? And be realistic with yourself. And what will provide you more value, more money up front when you're younger, or more money later? And the answer might be that I'd rather make sure that my spouse has a larger check when I pass, right? That might be the real consideration.
That is a strategy. Yeah. So let's go from the benefits to talking about filing. And it seems like it's a big secret on how to file the best way when you're doing your taxes. Is there a super strategy, Bleibel?
There are no super strategies, hard work.
Shucks.
Yeah, shucks. There are no strategies. I love seeing these ads that say, get an extra $13,000 a month or a year in Social Security benefits. There are no secrets when it comes to Social Security. So much so to the point that the way, and the only reason why I know this is that I'm a National Social Security Advisor certificate holder, and the program is run by a former Social Security Administration employee, 35 years, and you know he's been doing benefits. And he said that the way that their employees are trained is there's this system called POMS, which you can access online, publicly available, and it's basically they tell their employees, here, go online, search for the answers, right? And you have access to the same information that the Social Security Administration employee has access to, and they're not supposed to give you advice. So when you talk about secret strategies, there are no secret strategies. What there is just being aware of the rules and thinking through how they apply to you and your unique situation, and recognizing that you are a unique situation. We are all unique individuals, and anyone who comes out and says, well, no, this is what you should be doing, this is how you maximize your Social Security, what they're telling you is a soundbite that sounds good, that reads good, it gets attention because it's simple and easy to understand, but that by definition means it's probably wrong for you.
Interesting. Liebel Sternbach with us this weekend, and we're talking about Social Security maximization. So as we think about this, it sounds as if there's not one size that meets all, but we really have to be aware of our own individual and if it's applicable to our spouse's needs and our children as well.
Yeah, and it's not just us and it's not just our spouse. There are other people who can claim on our Social Security benefits. You can have, you know, dependent parents. So if your parents are living with you, and more applies if you're close in age with your parents, but they may be recipients of your Social Security survivor benefits. You also have dependent children, right? You have minor dependent children. They can get Social Security benefits. Up to 175% of your Social Security benefits is available to people other than yourself. Wow. And so that is something to keep in mind. You are not the only person in this equation. The math is easy when it's just you, but hopefully you've lived a life and there's other people who are in your web.
Thank you, Liebel. We look forward to hearing from you again next week. Liebel's website is liebelonfire.com. That's liebelonfire.com. And more New Beginnings is straight ahead.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
Minnesota is home to a robust network of more than 300 food shelves that may be able to offer additional food support to families and individuals who are suffering from hunger. Hunger Solutions can locate a food shelf near you. Call the Minnesota Food Helpline at 1-888-711-1151, 888-711-1151, or use the interactive map at hungersolutions.org. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Get the most from AARP, including advice and support to help you care for your loved ones. Fraud prevention with tips and tools to help protect you from scams and fraud, including a free helpline if you've been targeted, a scam tracking map, and watchdog alerts via email through the AARP Fraud Watch Network. If you don't know AARP, you don't know ARP.
More information at AARP.org.
Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
I'm so glad you're with us this weekend. It's time now for It Happened This Week. Republicans slammed the Biden administration for blaming inflation on Russian President Vladimir Putin after a report released this week showed that consumer prices have jumped 8.5% since March 2021. Also in the news, maybe it's just a rocky start. Only about 2 weeks into its launch, fewer than 10,000 people are reportedly using CNN Plus on a daily basis. For context, CNN's cable network last year brought in an average of 773,000 total viewers a day. And entertainment-focused streaming services Disney Plus reported 10 million subscribers on its first day. New York Mayor Eric Adams is continuing to isolate with COVID-19 as the city grappled with an ongoing active shooter situation. 10 people were shot on a subway in Brooklyn. And almost three-quarters of Americans now believe COVID-19 is a problem, but manageable. Democrats continue to take the pandemic far more seriously than Republicans. Only 3% of GOP respondents called COVID a crisis, compared to 16% of Democrats. Republicans were 10 times likelier than Democrats to say the virus is no longer a problem. The poll surveyed 1,043 adults from April 8th through the 11th with an error margin of 3 to 3.5%. And President Biden is announcing new steps to combat elevated gas prices, including permitting the sale of E15 gasoline this summer. The White House says it will okay the EPA to allow the sale of E15 gasoline, which uses 15% ethanol blend over the summer. Normally, this 15% mix is banned from being sold June 1st through September 15th. It happened this week. I'm Freddie Bell, and this is New Beginnings. Hi, everybody. And as promised, joining us now is Jay Hapala, who is the Associate State Director for Community Engagement for AARP Minnesota. Jay, welcome back.
That's us, Freddie. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. It's that time of the year when taxes happen to be on everybody's mind. In just a couple of days or so, we have to file those taxes. What is AARP doing, if anything, to assist its members with regard to taxes, making sure everything gets in on time. Is there any effort underway in that regard, sir?
Yeah, that is true. AARP offers a tax aid program where folks can go online, for example, look up our tax aid locator and find free tax assistance from AARP volunteers who provide that service. So look up the tax aid locator. However, as much as it's true that it is tax season, it's also Minnesota's legislative session, and we're working on some policy issues that are going to provide tax relief for Americans and Minnesotans who pay their income tax and their property tax as well.
So talk about that. What are you doing to help your members and people across the state with health and financial security?
Sure. So on behalf of our 630,000 members who are people over the age of 50 in Minnesota, here, AARP, we're fighting for people's health and financial security. And so we are a nonprofit and nonpartisan organization, meaning we don't endorse political candidates or make contributions to their campaigns, but we do have very strong influence with the lawmakers at the Capitol. So our volunteers and our advocates are the people who vote, and they deserve to have this collective and powerful voice to have influence with our lawmakers at the Capitol. And folks who are listening out there, you can learn more about the issues that we're working on and even get involved and become an advocate yourself by visiting us at aarp.org/mnadvocacy. And this session here in Minnesota, when it comes to financial security, there are these issues that we're working on, and we're making really good progress here in 2022. And one of these issues that's had a lot of buzz is this Social Security tax relief for folks who earn a middle amount or lower amount of income. And a lot of people out there who are receiving their Social Security benefits are unaware that there's already some tax relief provided in law. Mm-hmm. And currently we're supporting an approach that provides additional tax relief on their income tax for people making that moderate to low amount of income. And we support a measure in the House right now that would eliminate taxes on Social Security benefits, meaning no one earning up to $75,000 a year for married couples, or if you're filing single, it's $58,600, will have to pay a dime of state income tax on their Social Security benefits.
That's a big deal. And I know speaking for a lot of retirees out there, that's got to be a really big deal. I know other states do have that measure in place right now, like North Carolina.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. So in a lot of other states, people pay less state income tax on their Social Security benefits. So that's what we're talking about here in Minnesota. If you're going to be earning up to $75,000 and you're filing a joint return, you won't pay any income tax on that Social Security income.
What other good news might be on the front for people who are looking to protect their health and financial security?
Sure. So there's some more issues at the Capitol that we're working on. We hear this from our members about the property tax that they pay. When we talk to our members, people over the age of 65, the vast majority of them want to stay in their home and in their community for as long as possible. But with the home values spiking and people just living on fixed incomes, they struggle to keep up with paying those property taxes. So there's a number of bills in the legislature right now to help reduce property taxes for people. And this includes a homestead and renter's credit, if people are familiar with that. And also an expansion of the senior property tax deferral program. So a lot of good progress to be made. It's not a done deal yet. So we need people to be talking with their legislators and making sure they know that people want this kind of tax relief. And folks can figure out how to do that from our website. It's aarp.org/MNAdvocacy.
What is the possibility of these measures going through that AARP is advocating here in the state of Minnesota?
Yeah, we're working as hard as we can. The finish line isn't for some weeks yet, but we need people to be calling their legislators and making sure that we get to that finish line and provide these people some tax relief that they really need.
Once again, where can our listeners go to get more information and even to support the measures that you have in front of the legislators right now?
Right. So folks can learn about these issues. There's a way to get in touch with us in the Minnesota State Office, and we'll get you in touch with your lawmakers. It's aarp.org/MNAdvocacy.
He is Jay Hapala, the Associate State Director for Community Engagement for AARP Minnesota. Jay Hapala, thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you next time.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Freddie.
Get the most from AARP, including advice and support to help you care for your loved ones. Fraud prevention with tips and tools to help protect you from scams and fraud, including a free helpline if you've been targeted, a scam tracking map, and watchdog alerts via email through the AARP Fraud Watch Network. If you don't know AARP, you don't know ARP.
More information at AARP.org.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference. Available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, Minnesota Family Investment Program, MFIP, and WIC Nutrition, along with other available programs, can help you buy food while budgets are tight. SNAP, MFIP, and WIC benefits can help families access additional support as well, including health screenings, emergency assistance, nutrition education, and employment training. Apply online at applymn.dhs.mn.gov. This message is powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Introducing the New Beginnings Podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings Podcast today.
Here are today's words to the wise. Conduct yourself with dignity. Today's words to the wise. Conduct yourself with dignity. For more information about words to the wise, freddiebell.com, amazon.com, and barnesandnoble.com. That's our show this week. I'm Freddie Bell. Special thanks to Jay Havila, the Community Engagement Director for AARP Minnesota. Thank you for stopping by, Jay. And also to Leibel Sternbach, always sharing some great information on how we can save money. Joe McKenzie, our co-host on the program, talking to you today about controlling what you can control. And, of course, the great Cassie Crandall with lifestyle information for people who are 50 and beyond. And we can't say enough about the Reverend James Stacy from Unity South Twin Cities for sharing some pearls of wisdom for us as we celebrate this weekend. That's it. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for making us a part of your weekend. And for everyone who's been a part of this one, reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.